Oh, you know what? They didn't turn it on. Can you hear me now?
I can.
All right. It helps if you turn on the mic. It's amazing.
Are you recording?
We are recording, yeah. All right, I think we got technical. But anyways, I was thinking with all the turmoil that's going on in people's lives and stuff like that, just, you know, there's a lot going on, obviously, and there's a lot of divide and hurt and out there and stuff like that. So I said, God, please give me a message that will lift people up, inspire them, make it a joyful message. And so he gave me a message on sacrifice. And that's what God does, right? He says, guess what? It's not about you, Reggie, and what you want to do. It's about what I want people to hear. That's what he's saying. So this is a message that's been starting for a little while. But it's a true message, I think. I think it's a true message. It kind of goes along the lines, John, I talked about themes. And this is a theme in the Bible I think we hear on and off throughout the Bible, actually. There's a lot of verses. We're going to go through a lot of verses here, so hang tight, we'll get through it. So, and I wasn't sure why God put this message on my heart. I really wasn't. It's really, you know, it tugs at my heart, all this stuff that's going on and stuff. And in a culture that's becoming more and more messed up, and Christians, you know, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do. It's not required of us from God. It's not required of us from God, but we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do to show the world what it's like to be a Christian, don't we? And sometimes I can feel like a wicked burden, but it really shouldn't be, you know? So I'm going to start with Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Why are we doing this? Why do we feel that burden? And it should be because of all He's done for us, right? It should have nothing to do with us, really. It has to do with Him. And I'm going to say this over and over again. It's all about to do with Him. We want to put all the emphasis on us, but it has nothing to do with us. But we should feel a connection to God. We should feel that we want to please God. And that's been my heart for a while. It's just like, how do I please God more? Not because I'm going to get some benefit out of it. Because there's a true wanting to please Him more, right? This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How do we become good, pleasing, and perfect? How do we get there?
By obeying God's law.
By obeying God's law. But looking for His will right for us as an individual.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It says it right there. It's pretty straightforward. You know, the thing about the Bible is it's really straightforward. Like, if you wanna see how your life is supposed to go, you look at the words and it tells you. It tells you right there. So between this scripture, which is where it kind of all started, and Veterans Day service now, right? Talking about sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Veterans Day service, sacrifice, right? And I started this message about 3 weeks ago and then found out, I forgot it was Veterans Day service this Sunday. I thought it was next Sunday for some reason. I don't know. Time's all messed up for me. But and then what Mandy brought forward last week and this week, talking about the martyrs and the types of sacrifice that those people are making.
Yes.
Now that's real sacrifice, right?
Yes.
There's nothing that we can compare to that. Really.
Right.
I mean, that is That's the ultimate sacrifice. Somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to kill you because you believe in Jesus. And you stand there and you say, I believe in Jesus. And they kill you. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. And I thank Mandy for bringing that forward. Something that we take for granted in this country. Right? And this is going on today. Somebody probably out there right now is dying for that reason. Let's remember that. Standing up for a Christian, for the Christian belief and what is right. Their families, we saw what was going on with their families. So they get killed and their families are left, right? Suffering through all that. And sometimes I wonder, like, you know, if they're going to have to suffer through watching their parent get killed, be left alone. Sometimes you wonder if it's better to be dead. I mean, honestly, all right, you're going to go through some tough as a child. What does that do to you mentally? It's tough physically. That's some heavy-duty burdens. So maybe we should be thinking about this stuff. Maybe there should be some sacrifice coming from our wallets to help these people, if that's all we can do, right? We are recording 24. Try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And that's what those people did, right? That's what those people did. That's something to think about. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. What does that mean? What does that mean? If somebody comes to you and says, are you a Christian? I'm going to kill you if you're a Christian. And you deny that. What does that mean? What do you lose?
Your salvation.
Your kingdom to heaven.
Yeah.
You lose
a lot. You lose a lot. And right there, you will lose it. If you try to hang on to your own life, you... Is he talking about the life here and now? Or is that... Those are things we got to think about and contemplate, right? But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it, right? You'll be with him. Eternity. Eternity. Not 54 years like my biological father who passed away. Eternity. We're going to be talking a lot about sacrifice. And so you got to look up the definitions of sacrifice, right? What is sacrifice? And there's a lot of different definitions of sacrifice, but the two that I'm going to talk about related to the Bible are an act of slaughtering an animal or a person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine or supernatural figure. Okay? So that's the animal. And then the other definition is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. All right? And those are the two things that we're going to be talking about. So we're going to start talking about before Christ came, there was a lot of emphasis on sacrificing animals, right? It was required by God oftentimes. Right? And it was pleasing to God. Now, I think this is weird. Right? And my wife loves animals. And she thinks it's weird. Right? Why would God require a sacrifice of a poor little animal who did nothing wrong and kill it in order to relieve your sins? Right? So that becomes the flesh thought. Right? That's our flesh thought. Just doesn't seem fair, does it? But God doesn't always do what we think is fair. Right? God has his own ways of looking at things.
Yes.
He has his own way of requiring things. And we can disagree with them. I disagree from internally in my heart. Sometimes I disagree with what God requires. I want to see some different outcome. I want to see something play out differently. But guess what? If I'm going to say I believe in Christ, then I got to line, put myself off and listen to what He's saying. And that's tough. Especially when you're stubborn-minded like this guy. I can be bull-minded. And so what happens is there's a battle between me and God a lot of times. And then I have to surrender my own thoughts to line up with His thoughts. And the reason is because everybody has their own thoughts. Right? And if everybody has their own thoughts, nobody is ever going to agree. So we better have one thought to line up with.
Amen. Yeah, He's God and we're not.
He's God. We're not. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Genesis 5:20. So we'll start in the Old Testament, right? So I'm going to go through some sacrifice of the animals. Then Noah, so this is Noah, right? They come off, the flood happened, they're coming back, right? One of the very first things that happens that when they hit the shore, right? Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And therefore he sacrificed his burnt offerings to animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. Who did he get approval for?
God.
Right? God gave the approval. He said, this is what I want. So Noah did what he wanted, right? He didn't say, well, that bird is too pretty. That's a cute little bird. It's very nice. I don't want to harm it. He just did it. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of sacrifice. A little different, right? Aroma of sacrifice. Now we smell that stuff and we go,
ugh. 820, Rich.
Huh?
820. You said the wrong number.
820, sorry. Genesis 820.
We figured it out.
I'm testing you. Right, but you gotta put seasoning on it. No, I'm just kidding. So, and then he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood. Think about that statement, right? I will never curse the ground because of the human race. He already knows, right? We're messed up as humans, right? We have weird thoughts. We do weird things. We are. We don't always listen to God. We like to go against things. We're stubborn. So he knows that that's already like that. But he's saying, like, listen, I'm never going to do that to you again. Right? Now, if Noah is already rebellious, you have to think about this in reverse sometimes, right? If he's rebellious and doesn't do what God asked him to do, does that same statement come out? Probably not, right? Think about it, because it says right here, it says, let's see where it says. And the Lord was pleased, right? So if Noah hadn't done it, would the Lord be pleased? Probably not, right? I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting, harvest, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So what kind of animals did God want to sacrifice? I mean, we know that there's sheep and lambs, right? So, but what kind? What was the criteria?
Unblemished.
Unblemished. What else? What else?
Clean.
Clean. Any other thoughts on that? Oftentimes it was the firstborn. Male. Right? He had specific things, criteria, he wanted for his sacrifice, right? That tells me that there's different levels of sacrifice, right? He required the best. He required the best. He didn't want the sheep out there that had all kinds of problems. He didn't want the last sheep that was just floating around and always lost. He wanted the number one sheep. And we have to understand what were sheep and lambs then? Like we live in a culture where sheep and lambs aren't, doesn't mean a lot, really, honestly. Yeah. And in that culture, what did sheep and lambs represent?
Wealth.
Mm-hmm. Right? Wealth. Right? They provided food, textiles, oils, and that was important back then. Without that, you were in trouble. You were in trouble. It was important to life and the economy, right? So these sheep really, really meant something to these people. And then God says to them, I want you to sacrifice your best one. The best one. Exodus 12:5, Leviticus 1:3, both kind of saying the same thing. The animal you select must be 1 year old male, either sheep or goat, with no defects. No defects. He wants the best. And so I think to today, right? I don't have a sheep. I don't have sheep to slaughter for God, right? And He doesn't require it anymore of us. Thank God for that, right? But I think, well, what about wealth? Let's go with wealth, right? So if I have $1 million like you all do, we all have $1 million, and I throw $5 into donate to something, is that really a big sacrifice? Is that really a big sacrifice? Is that taking your number one sheep and slaughtering it for God?
No.
Not really, right? Not really. But I can remember sitting here and I was counting money, and I remember a young kid, one of the kids that were in here at the time, coming up, and he says, Is that where we give the money? And I said, yeah, that's where we give the money. And he looked at me and he said, wait a minute. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulled out a bunch of change, 5 coins, and threw that into the dish. And he said, does that help? Does that help? Is that sacrifice?
Yes.
Compared to the millionaire, maybe the millionaire gave $20,000. Is that a huge sacrifice for him or her? Right? There's different levels of sacrifice. Right? Different levels of sacrifice. And God, in the Old Testament, in the old days, before Christ, He required some heavy-duty sacrifice. And sacrifices like these happen all the time. And then something miraculous happened. Right? That was the way things were. And something really miraculous happened. And it changed everything, right? And Christ came, the perfect sinless lamb, the number one of number ones. Right? And was ultimately sacrificed for forgiveness of our sins. All of our sins. And the world changed. The world changed. That's why you're not out there sacrificing sheep. Right? And because of that, there should also be an urge for us to please Him. To please Him. Now, we don't have to live like they used to have to live. It should be something in our hearts that is stirring and saying, "You did everything for me. And you're giving me eternity. You're giving me a new life here on earth right now. You're giving me a new vision, a new way of living. You showed me mercy when I didn't need when I didn't deserve mercy. And I have an internal burden, to want to please God." That's what should be going on in our hearts from a true saved person.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There should be an internal feeling like, whatever you tell me, God, I want to please you. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. A pleasing aroma to God. His Son is sacrificed. And that's a pleasing aroma to God.
Mm.
Wrap your head around that one.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that one. I should tell you, God does not think like people. Right?
Yes.
He does not think like that. It's a pleasing aroma to God. Hmm. So we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore, right? Does that mean that we no longer ever have to sacrifice anything?
No.
Well, in some ways, yes. Because we're not required. God isn't requiring us like in the Old Testament, in the old days, right? He's not requiring. He's not going, "You have to do this to relieve your sin," right? He doesn't do that anymore. It's not required. But there should be something in me, in you, that wants to please Him, right? Like a child wanting to please their parents, right? Like a child wanting to please their parents. Until they get to the teenage years, right?
Yeah.
Then it gets a little mixy. But at first, a young child wants to please their parents. They want to see their parents happy, right? And why does the child want to see the parent happy?
Why does he's happy?
Because they're happy, right? You're providing for them. They got a pretty good life. So they want to see you joyful, right? Pretty good joy. It isn't required. But because I recognize what He did and does for me every day, that should persuade me to want to please them. It should be a persuasion that I want to please them. When He sees sacrifice, it brings pleasure to Him, right? Pleasure. Aroma. Right? Do you think that that's stopped? If He sees you sacrifice, that it still doesn't bring an aroma to Him? How do I know this stuff? Because the Scripture says so. And that's all that matters, right? But the Scripture says. So we're going to run through some Scripture really quick. Hang on tight. Hebrews 13:16. I could have came up with a ton of examples. A ton. And do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Do you want to please God? If you want to please God, this is a good way to do it, right? Don't forget to do good and share with others. Galatians 6:2. This is a tough one. Carrying each other's burdens. Anybody in here feel like they're carrying anybody's burdens? You ever feel overwhelmed by carrying other people's burdens? I see it in your faces. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. I see it. Carrying each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Right? So Christ wants us to carry each other's burdens. Right? Is that a sacrifice, to carry each other's burdens? It is, because it affects you as a person. It affects you as a person. John 15:13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Does that actually mean that you have to die for your friend?
No.
No. Can you lay your life down for a friend without dying?
Yes.
Who has an example? Who has an example? What can you do besides that? Anybody have an example?
A sacrifice.
How? Tell me how.
Giving up something of yourself
something
in
else.
Order for somebody else to accomplish or live.
Right. So, is it a big sacrifice if you have a lot of time on your hands to go and help somebody? Or is it a sacrifice if you're busier than all get out and a friend calls you for help and you say, you know what? I just gotta go and help that person. Even though I don't have time, I need to go help that person. Is that laying your life down?
It's putting your life aside.
It's putting your life aside. That's right. Now, let's throw a little kink in the whole mix. What if it's not a friend? What if it's actually somebody you disagree with? And they call you up and they say, "Hey, Reg." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't have time for this. I really need help. And you're thinking in the back of your mind, like, didn't we just have an argument a couple days ago? Didn't we just have an argument? Didn't we not see eye to eye? Reg, I really need help. I don't have time. Why are you asking me this? I need help. And you go help them. Is that a sacrifice?
Yes.
Is that a sacrifice?
Just two words. Our president.
Is that a sacrifice?
When we are abused by anyone in our life, our reaction to that abuse, suppressing our carnal response, is sacrifice and trusting God that He will work this injustice out. It'll be worked out. And we can just trust Him. That's sacrificing our carnal nature.
Right.
I wanted to be Christ-like. And that's very difficult, because a lot of times we have been affronted by vicious attacks and abuse and injustice. The injustice is obvious, and we have a choice. We can react to it, or we can plead for grace and strength to trust God will work out the injustice, and maybe we never see the result. We never see the resolution. But we trust that God has, He is God.
Yeah.
We know. And we got to recognize that. And we got to seek mercy and surrender, like we spoke weeks ago. It's important for us to surrender our will.
Yes.
And trust Him.
That's right. Are the martyrs, does God not have control over that? Does God not have control over their situation? Because the Word says He has control, right? The Word says He has control. And yet they still seem to trust that things are in control, right? Think you're in control. God's got this. Don't worry about it.
Reggie, on that little video, not only did they trust He was in control, they were praying for their persecutors.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word says we need to do that.
Absolutely.
We need to pray for those who despitefully use us.
Right.
That's a sacrifice.
Right? Sometimes it's forgiveness is a sacrifice, right? Sometimes you've really been mistreated. Like, truly mistreated. That's a sacrifice to say, I forgive that person, right? Now, there's a benefit to yourself for doing that, okay? You're releasing a lot of internal stuff that's only holding you back, right, usually. And usually the person who you're forgiving is clueless, right?
Yeah.
Or doesn't even care, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times, right? But is it a sacrifice for you to sit there and do that? To look at somebody in the face, like in this case with persecutors, right? Look at them and say, like, listen, I'm praying for you despite all that. You just killed my family and I'm praying for you. Now that's sacrifice. Is that a degree of sacrifice?
Yes.
Huge.
Huge. Unfathomable in our life. Right?
Say that word again.
Unfathomable. Fathomable.
When you bring up a situation like that, when I came back to this country after the Vietnam, there was a lot of hate towards me. And there was one that was pointed right at me and two Marines that were next to me. And it took me a long time to forgive this one. I'm talking probably up to about 3 years ago. It took me a long time. And it was hard. But I felt so much relief. Because when you have hatred in you, you're really not following God's rules. So, I mean, it hurt, but it was like, okay, it's done with it. Now I can live my life, you know.
All right. Matthew 5:42. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. That's a tough one too, right? These are all tough sometimes, right? There's a lot of criteria to all this stuff. When you have a lot of spare money, for some reason, let's say you had worked overtime, you had some extra cash in your pocket, it's pretty easy to help somebody out. But I remember reading the book a little while back where a lady went into a restaurant and she bought a soda and was walking away, and God told her to give her a $100 tip after buying a soda, and she didn't have $100. And she drove down away saying, "God, I don't have $100. I'll give 50. I'll go to the bank and I'll take out $50, but we really can't afford $100 right now. We really can't afford $100. And he kept saying, "You need to give $100. And so she went to the ATM and she took out $100. And she went back and she gave the money to the waitress and said, here's a tip. I forgot to give you a tip." And the waitress started crying because she didn't have the money to go to Thanksgiving dinner with her family, and it would have cost her almost $100 to get a ticket to go to Thanksgiving with her family, whose family member was dying. And it would have been the last time she got to see him. And it would have been Thanksgiving. And she started to walk away. And then God said, "You go back and tell her who told you to give that money." And she says, "Well, I don't want to look like a fool. I think I'm crazy. Go back and tell them that God told me to give you a $100 tip for a $2 soda." And she did. She went back and she said, "I just need to clarify something. God told me to give you this money." Being faithful to God is everything. And you know what ended up happening? Is eventually she ended up doing better. I can't remember the exact what happened. That part of the story left an impact. Her doing better, for some reason, I can't remember what happened there. But it doesn't matter. The impact is doing what God's telling you to do. Stretching yourself, right? Trust in that. If you get that internal feeling, like God said, do this. Please do it. Trust that He's going to take care of you after. That's been hard for me. We had Carla stay home with the kids. We didn't have a lot of extra money kicking around. I got plenty though. Trust me. I got plenty. But in my mind, we don't have a lot of money kicking around. And so when things like that popped up and Carla would say to me, she'd say, "Why don't you leave a little bit more for a tip?" And I'm thinking, "Hey boy." I'm looking. I gotta pay the bills here. You don't understand the stress I go through when I'm trying to do magic.
Yes, I do every Friday. He sits in that chair with that computer, I know. Don't talk to me.
And so it's tight. So you gotta, you give a little bit more, especially right now, right? These restaurants are hurting. These waitresses and waiters are hurting. Right? Give to one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Philippians 2:4. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. So what's pleasing to God?
When we look out for others.
When we look out for others, right? And that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to do that more lately, right? We got the elderly mission going on, right, and stuff. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do more. We're trying to reach the area, the elderly. They're suffering right now with everything that's going on, right? So we need to be looking out for others, you know? Some of us are part of that group. Some of us aren't. Some of us have other people we got to look after. It's like the kids are lost. The kids right now are lost. And if you don't think so, go out in the workforce and see how things are going. Go out in the workforce and see how things are going. You can't find workers. And when they do come to the organization, because I hear this stuff all the time. I work with people. I get to hear the stories. So when an employer comes in and tells me, you know what? I got young people coming in. They're laying out what they want. I want to work Monday through Thursday. And I want to work 8 to 4, and I want to have an hour off for lunch. And I want to get paid $20 an hour. You laugh. You laugh. You laugh. It's happening. It's happening. There's some mixed up thoughts out there. There's some mixed up thoughts. Look at the restaurants closing around us. Right? Cut down time that they're open. Not because they're not making money, not because they're not busy, because they can't find workers. It's crazy. Things that we never thought you'd see, right? Things you never thought you'd see. There, I never thought I'd see. Luke 3:10. What should we do then? The crowd asks. John answers, who has two shirts should share with the one who has none? With the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. I can tell you this. If this one scripture was being done, this world would be a different place. We wouldn't have to rely on the government doing it for us.
Amen.
So who's to blame? Who's to blame? You're looking right at him. I'm to blame. Because I am not doing this enough. And that is the problem. We are not looking out for each other enough. We are not stepping up and taking care of each other enough. And we need to take some self-responsibility for that. And to do this stuff requires sacrifice, right? So maybe I don't go out and buy an ATV, and maybe I do some things for people. Right? Maybe I don't go out and buy my 50th pair of jeans and do something for somebody else. Things to think about, right? It's sacrifice, but is that really sacrifice? I mean, we love to say it's sacrifice. Oh my gosh. I didn't buy that, and I gave something to somebody else. When you look at how much stuff we have, I got an attic that is filled with stuff. It's going to the yard sale, right, babe? Sure it is. Sure it is.
I'm having an attic sale. attic sale.
We're going to have an attic sale, right? You got to go up there and you can take it for free, if you ask me. Come and grab it. You know? Come and grab it. That's...
It's not half the attic is worth it.
We had so much.
Who has the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
We had so much stuff.
The garbage men hated us.
We had so much stuff, and we even put it on Facebook. Free stuff, and people were coming to get it, and I was so thankful. You know, when you're moving, all I can say, any of you younger people, if you plan on moving before you get 70, you better start doing it now and getting rid of everything, because you can't take it with you, and you don't want to take it with you when you move.
Naturally.
So.
Matthew 25:35. This is a popular one, right? We've heard this before. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into the home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Sacrifice. Are we doing that? Are we doing that?
Was that one again? Matthew what?
25:35. Are we doing this stuff, people? And if we are we doing it enough? Then the righteous ones replied, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. So when we're stretching ourselves, right, when we're sacrificing, we're not only giving to that person, we're giving to God. Right?
Yeah.
We're giving to God. Romans, we're going to go back to Romans, right? We started in Romans. We're going to kind of roll down and end in Romans. Kathy's got something to say.
That.
Yeah, turn it on.
That scripture that you just read about the righteous saying, when did we see you sick and come to you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? The righteous said that. They were saying, when did we do that, Lord? But if you go on, the unrighteous say, when didn't we do that,
mm-hmm.
Lord? So it's really an issue of the heart.
An issue
are
of the
you
heart.
Doing it for the Lord, or are you doing it for recognition?
Right.
And when did we not do that, Lord?
Right.
Yeah.
It's an issue of the heart, right? Steve's big on the heart. He talked about the heart before. So we're going back to Romans, right? We kind of started there. We're going to continue on Romans 12:3. So this section is called the spiritual your life sacrifice, your spiritual sacrifice, right? Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. I need to repeat that to myself over and over again. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Self-evaluation. I hate that. Because that's when God shows me flaws that I don't want to deal with. Be honest in evaluation of yourself. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. Now, you may not like a part of your body, but you still belong. It's still part of your body. Chris, you like your back right now? How much do you like your back? You love your back, right? It's the best thing ever. It's the best part of your body, right? Yeah, that's right. So it's, you know, he's not in love with his back right now. I can tell you that. Okay? But guess what? It's his body. It's one functioning unit. And let me tell you, even though there's craziness going on in our bodies, look at what we can accomplish even through that. Right? In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you an ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If you're giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Does it, you know, we all have different parts, right? We all have different roles. We need to do some self-evaluation to figure out what our role is, right? God has you here for a purpose, right? Has all of us here for a purpose. If we had no purpose, He would remove us. Seriously. We all have a purpose. And there's a list of things that He has purposes for us. Right? Now, you may have given you a gift in one area. That doesn't mean it excludes all the other areas. But it tells you, like, He's given you this ability, so go out and use that ability. Don't just pretend to love others. Oh, I see a lot of that going on in this world. I see a lot of pretending to love others. Don't get fooled. But He's telling us, don't do that, right? Don't do that. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Genuine affection. You give somebody a hug, like Ronnie just did to Diane. You give somebody a hug like that, that's true affection. Right in the middle of church. They don't care. That's why they're in the back row. That's why they're in the back row now. So. But anyways, that's true affection, right? That's true affection. You ever hug anybody who doesn't hug you back?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Ironing board hugs.
It's weird.
But you know, Reggie?
Yes.
You keep that up, you know, you show that kind of love, and suddenly they are hugging you back.
That is true.
I don't mean Ron.
Yeah. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Never be lazy. But work hard. And serve the Lord enthusiastically. So when God says to you, please, can you do this? And you go, I don't want to. I'm tired. Is that enthusiastically? I'll do it, but, you know, I'll do it. God, I'll do it. I give to the local mission. You require it of me. I just don't see a lot of pleasure in God's eyes with that. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. That's what we're talking about with the martyrs, right? Great example. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. God hates pride, despises pride. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Never pay back evil with more evil. People act a certain way, and it's not too nice. You don't react the same way. Right? That goes back to John's Babylon. Right? See this stuff? See how God's telling us stuff? Right? He preached on Babylon. Right? And he said, don't battle the same way that evil battles. Right? Don't use the same tactics. You use different tactics. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you honorably. They're watching. The captives are watching. If they see us using the same tactics that they use, we're no different. There's not much light shining there. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For Scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Just because things are getting away with on this earth, you may be doing something wrong, people may be doing something wrong, doesn't mean that they're getting away with it. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Killing people with kindness. Right? I had a secretary who, when people came and yelled at her for whatever reason, usually some stupid reason, she would just be as nice as pie to them. As nice as pie to them. And at first, they would respond even worse. They would respond. But over time, she won. She would win over them. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Is this timely right now? I feel it is. I feel it is. So there's a lot of instruction. There's a lot of sacrifice that's going to be involved here, right? It's not natural for us to behave this way. It isn't. Some people a little easier than others, but it's not natural. It's not natural. So only through the power of God can this happen. Right? Only through the power of God. People have to understand this. Hebrews 6:10. We got two more scriptures. You guys are doing good. You're hanging in there. I love this. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work, right? So he doesn't require it, but he's not going to forget it when he sees us doing it. He won't forget it. And the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them, right? He won't forget. He won't forget. When we get to heaven and we're facing Jesus face to face, and there is going to be a judgment at that time, will we take ownership of where we messed up? It's going to be a question. But he will also remember everything we did that was good to help other people. Amen to that.
Yes.
Right? Amen to that. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God.
Thank you.
Is sacrificing going to bring praise to God? Absolutely. Proclaiming our allegiance to His name. What does sacrificing do? It shows your allegiance to God. It's a demonstration that you trust Him more than your circumstance.
Amen.
You trust Him more than your circumstance. And we're in some funny circumstances right now, aren't we? And do you really think that our circumstances are going to get incredibly better?
No.
The world is a mess. The world is a mess. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. These are the sacrifices that please God. This country, the problems are with us as people. We're dropping the ball. There's litter on the ground, and we're crying about saving the earth. Well, let's go pick up the litter. It's not that hard, right? It's not that hard. These are the decisions we make, right? We are dropping the ball. And what you're seeing is because we're dropping the ball, you're seeing a society implode. And if we start living by what we say we believe, that can change things. That can change things. And it can only get better if we do that. Right? So, dear Jesus, God, Christ Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, we need guidance. We need to understand the word sacrifice more. We need the world to understand this stuff more. We need not to hold back and worry about circumstance. We need to trust in you that when you say move forward, we're going to move forward. And when you say go to the right, we're going to move to the right. And when you say go to the left, we're going to go to the left. Not because you're demanding us to, but because we want to please you and fulfill the purpose you gave for us. You gave us purpose, and we want to be doing what your will is for me and for everybody else. We're one body, united. Sometimes we don't always do what you want us to do, and it hurts the body. So we want to be one whole body, looking to you for instruction, understanding your ways. We want to look at you at the end of this time on this earth and hear those words, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. You've done well.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. That is our plea. That is our plea. We love you and thank you for what you're doing in our lives right now. We know this is all just words of encouragement to step out more and more. Preparation. Getting used to helping each other more and more. We just love you and thank you in your name. Amen.